Yud Ches Shevat, 28th of January, Rabbi Eliro, Lifne Eva.
Speak on a personal note about how come we don't attend the shul with Shabbat Shmartel to Rabbi Stern on the occasion of his daughter's passover to my brother. And of course, special Mazatov to those who sponsored the tournament this week on the occasion of the marriage of Ms. Steinberg to my brother-in-law. And we wish them all that the Zibugs and the other side should all go to be by itself and be his shul. So I want to talk a little bit about topic that came up in our Gemara in Gittin, Samach Aleph, and that is, how should a person behave if he's asked to help prepare a meal or to help look after a kitchen, maintain a kitchen in a home where they don't keep kosher? And came up, you have a boy who, let's say, became a Baal Teshuva when he was still living at home, and his parents eat everything, including many things that they should not. So they ask him to help, to go shopping, to help peeling the potatoes, or to wash the dishes. Should he have such a yitzhar to do so? So is there any hetar for him to help his parent to do something which is, according to the Torah, absolutely forbidden? And we all know there's the aver of lifnei velitzit hamichsha, that you're not allowed to help somebody sin. Is there any things which are included, some things which maybe there could be a heta? Obviously, it's a sensitive situation. For sure, I'm not coming to pass get anything halacha l'maisa. Actual shayla should be passed on. I just wanted to put down some of the things that will be taken into consideration. So it begins really with the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Vav, which tells us some of the halachas. The Gemara that is talking about the first mission in Avodah Zarah says that you may not sell an animal or other things which the goyim use for Avodah Zarah when it's surely before one of their festivals. You may not do various kinds of business, and included is a prohibition not to sell them an animal which they might use as a korban. So the Gemara says, why are you not allowed to sell them this thing? So the Gemara says at the bottom of Bava Medalev, what's the reason? Iboyelu mishum harvacha. Is it because you will give them a good feeling, they'll be happy to buy this animal, and then when it becomes the day of their services, they will give extra thanks to their God. And that will being marbe more avodah zarah in the world. Are we worried about increasing idol worship in the world? Is that the problem? So that's our responsibility. There shouldn't be more extra thanks, extra feeling of the non-Jew. Is that the problem? Idilma, or is there more real and more tangible issa, and that is Mamash Aver of the Torah, Mishav Lifnei Velesita Michshel. That the Pasuk says that you may not put a stumbling block in front of a blind man, and therefore you cannot sell him an animal because he's going to use the animal to bring a carbon to his God. Yeah, that's the chiddush, one of the chiddush of this Gemara, that yes, it does apply to Gentiles as well. And it will come out that you gave him the animal, so with your animal he's going to sin. So you are causing the issa to happen. Because that's lifnei velesita michshel. Says the Gemara, lemai nafke bida. What's the difference? What's the reason? What will come out of difference? The is le behema le didei. If he already has his own animal, so he could perform the services, he could offer a sacrifice without you. So you're not causing the issa to happen, so you can't say lifnei velesita michshel. He already has an animal. If he just put him in a good mood, so it doesn't help. He's still happy that he bought your animal. And he'll give extra thanks. But if you say the problem is that you caused him to sin, he already has his own animal, so therefore it's not that you made it happen, and therefore there's no problem. Says the Gemara, is this true? That if the Gentile has his own animal, there's no avir. But we surely would not. The rule of Lifnei Eved always applies. Says the Gemara, "V'chi is lei loy ova mishum loy ever lesita mechshav." Is it true that if he already has his new avodah about Tanya? We learned the famous brisa, which comes in Avodah Zarah, comes in other places. Omer Rebbe Dosser, minan shlo yesh odom kosh shel yayin lenozi, ve'eve min achayin lebnei noyach. How do we know that one may not give a cup of wine to a nozi? Or to a Gentile, an Israel, to give eve min achayin. Gentiles could eat don kosher, but they may not eat meat that was plucked from an animal while the animal is still alive, eve min achayin. So how do we know that you may not give even a chai even to a Gentile? Talmud Laima, from here we learn, v'lifnei yivei lesita mechshav. So what are we saying? That you may not even pass the nozir, the cup of wine, for him to drink. You may not even give in his hand a goy, the even a chai. So why are you saying here that if he already has it, it's okay? He also, it should be like he already has it. If you just picked up and gave it to him, so he already has it. He could have got it anyway. So the Gevor, you're right. Really, if the person could get there anyway, there's no lifnei v'lesita mechshav. Ha'chav v'maya skinot. This brisa that says that you may not pass it in, is not really talking about passing it. It's talking about where he couldn't reach it. The koi betray avra denara, where he's standing on the second side of the river. It doesn't mean that you just picked it up off the table for him. If you just picked it off the table, he could have got it anyway. So then there's no lifnei v'lesita mechshav. Lifnei v'lesita mechshav is only talking about when you enabled him to do it, and without you he could not do it. So if you'd picked up the yayin and you passed it across the river to him, so then you're able to visit a mechshav, otherwise you're not. So, it comes out from this Gemara that the main issa of the Torah of lifnei v'lesita mechshav only applies if he needs you to get him. If he could do it without you, then it will be okay. So this is something which we straight away need to consider. The person helping in the kitchen, 9 times out of 10, unless his mother is bedridden or something, she could manage without him, and therefore there's not going to be an Issa from the Torah. However, we have to find out if there's going to be an Issa midrabbonah. The Tosfos Davar on base there, Dibavasa from Inayin. So he says the case mentioned was a cup of wine for a nozir. What would be other kinds of Issurim? Non kosher food, meat and milk, pork. So says Tosfos, usually it's not relevant because people don't usually make mistakes and eat non-kosher. However, if there is somebody who you suspect might eat non-kosher, says Tosfos, also lahoishit lemumrim laavei dezara. If you have a Jew, unfortunately, is not keeping the religion. He's a mumma. He's a non-religious Jew. So then we say apostate. So you may not give him any dabaisa. Afa pishu shalahem, even if it belongs to him. If he cannot reach it, you know he's going to eat it, and it's forbidden for him. He is a Jew, he doesn't want to be a Jew, but he is a Jew, and therefore you may not pass it to him and help him sin. Says Tosfos, but we're discussing, we're talking about a case where he cannot reach it if you would not pass it to him. Like he says in our Gemara, only if he's on the second side of the river. But if he's on the first side of the river, so then one may, it seems like from Tosfos, one may pass it to him. So on the Rosh, who paskens the halachas of the Gemara, so he paskens, like what Tosfos says, that you may not give something non kosher to a non-religious Jew, but that's talking about where he could not get it otherwise. Now Tosfos and the Rosh are not coming to paskin hilchos for balkus, hilchos for Mashiach. How much is which kind of level are we talking about? If it's forbidden, they should say this rule applies for the Torah. For midrabanan, you should know you cannot pass it to him, even if he could reach it. So it's very much by Tosfos and the Rosh that even though that there's no issur drabanan either, it's permitted. When do we say you may not give non-kosher food to someone? That's only if they could not reach it. If they could reach it, then it's muta to give it to them, and there's no issa. That's what seems from Tosfos here in Avodah Zarah Daf Vav Amud Beis. However, most people are aware that Tosfos, beginning of Shabbos, says very different. And then on Daf Gimel, the Tosfos of Maschil Baba Dereisha. And there we have the famous sugya of Yitzis Shabbos. There's all different ways where two people can take something out of a house, and the question is, whose fault is it? So, it says there that if you're holding something in your hand, in your own house, then that item is considered like it's still on the frum. So, and somebody comes to take it from you, you give it to him, while it's still in your house, in your hand. So then, says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, such a thing is muta. It's muta. Because you didn't pick it off the floor, you're just holding it, and you didn't do akira. So you didn't weren't involved in any part of the hitzah. Then the other person takes it from your hand, that's where it begins. That's called the hitzah, it begins to go. Akira. And then he takes it out of the house, so he's done the whole malacha and you haven't done anything. So says the Gemara there, it's pato or muta. So says Tosfos, what do you mean it's muta? That you're giving him an aver, that you give it to him in his hand. So then, even if he's the one who's doing the picking up, he's doing the akira, but if the maize was in your hand first, and you allowed him to take it. So you enabled the aver to come. So how can the Gemara say it's muta? What are you going to say? Maybe he could have picked it up without you. He could have picked it off the table. He could have taken it out of your hand without you doing anything. So what does it matter that you help him a bit? We call Marcus this day's verse. Let's go before. But if you marry, even if you say Shayachalit, even if you say you're talking about he could have reached it, and therefore the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, there's no lifnei it. We call Marcus is a jabana miyahika. It's true that though it's from the Torah of lifnei it, but there is a jabana. Because shechayev la'afrishay mi'issa, it's your responsibility to stop other people sinning. Even though you're not the one who's the cause of the avir, he could have done it without you, so you cannot say that you made him sin. However, you had the opportunity to stop him. And how much more so can you not sit there passively while you're holding this in his hand or bringing it a bit nearer to him, even if you could have managed without you, because this, your responsibility is to stop him from sinning. And the Russians brings the sugya divamus that discuss there. If you see somebody else's child, not your child, who's doing an avera, perhaps there's a chiyuv to stop him and tell him off. Some people prefer to stop other people's children, but there, the maskala there is that you don't have to because it's only a child. It's not your responsibility. But by Godel who's chayav mitzvahs, so then it's clear says the Rosh and Tosfos that you have a chiyuv to stop someone sinning. So if you have a chiyuv to stop them sinning, how much more so can you not be even a passive participant in his sin? And therefore, what is Bukhir b'Jabbanon to stop it? So it seems that Tosfos in Shabbos and the Rosh over there as well, Amchadish, that one may not be midrabbanon, one may not be a passive assistant to someone doing Havera. When I say passive, I mean that he could have managed without you, what the Gemara calls Chad Abra Denara. He could have been on the safe side of the river, he could have done it by himself. And you still may not be Jabbanon help. So what about the Gemara in Avodah Zarah? The Gemara said in Avodah Zarah that if the guy already has an animal, then you're allowed to sell it to him. But no lifnei iver. It's bashva that you put in Gansu. So you have to say that Gentiles, there's no chiyuv of lafrusha b'Yisrael. This thing, that you have to stop people sitting, and therefore you may not be a passive participant, this does not apply to going. Liv Nevel is Zitta Mirshal means Hashem says the Jewish people mustn't help any Avera. To help an Avera, you're not allowed to help even a Goyse. But just to be passive, so then this does not apply to Gentile, one may help them. So the Ramah in Yeridah, in Sima Kufnun Aleph, where he's discussing the rules of selling items which may be used by Goyim for Avodah Zarah. And also applies to selling them weapons, which as you mentioned before, they might use against innocent people, which is a very important help, even if they're Arabs. So you may not, you may not sell it to them. That's what the Mishnah says. Items which they might use for Avodah Zarah, items which they might use for murder, you may not sell to them. Says the Ramah. The Yesh, some people say, Haynu Dafka, Im Ein Lehem Achayim Ki Yitzibon. He says, the Yesh Oymim, some people say that this whole issue applies if they don't have the ability to get to themselves, their own ones. Oyshla Yuchlu Liknes B'Mokam Ache, they couldn't buy it from someone else. Avalim Yuchayim Liknes B'Mokam Ache, Mutar Limko Lehem Kol Dovah. If they could have bought it from somewhere else, one may sell them whatever you want. Yes, Machbir. But not a gula hakol. It's very shame. The minhag is to be makel to a non-religious Jew who might serve idols, or to a goy. The minhag is that if they could have bought it somewhere else, then one is allowed to be lenient. Some people are machbe, but the minhag is to be lenient. B'chol ba'al nefesh yachvel asmoy. If you want to be very frum, then you should be machbe. So he brings these two opinions, which Pashtas is the two opinions of the Tosfos and the Rosh in Avodah Zarah. In Shabbos, we learn that it's the Issur Drabbanan, even if he could get it by himself. And in Avodah Zarah, this Issur wasn't mentioned, so it seems to be a machlokes, two opinions. Comes along the Shach, and as the Poskim bring the Shach from the children of Aaron HaKohen, so he brings Shalom between the Rishonim. He says, how can you just make a machlokes like this? The Rosh paskens the Tosfos and Shabbos, and paskens the Tosfos and Gittin. So you can't pasken like both sides. So if the Rosh paskens both, in one place he says that if you could, even though you could get it by himself, it's still Issur Drabbanan. So how did it happen that in Avodah Zarah he didn't mention this at all? He said when you want to give non-kosher food, then there's no problem, even if there's Issur Drabbanan. But there's no problem if you could get it by himself. It seems there's no problem. So what happened? Says the Shach over there in Sipkot Vav, that there's a big difference. One is talking about a regular Jew who forgot, or was not thinking about the issue of carrying on Shabbos. So therefore, you may not help him, and you may not even be a passive helper. If you have Yisrael Mumma, somebody who serves idols, completely not religious, so then he's not a religious Jew. There's no chiyuv to stop him. And since there's no chiv to stop him, there's no issur to be a passive helper. Real if never there isn't, because you could get it anyway. You could buy it for somebody else. What's left? There's an issur drabbanan, you're responsible for him. You're not responsible for him if he is a mumah. So this is the Shach in Sivkot Vav over there. That for a mumah, somebody who's not religious, then you're allowed to help them to achieve their issur. If they could get it without you, you're allowed to be an assistant. So all the Mepharshim jump on the Shach, and they say, what are you talking about? Well, Babish, they ask Dog and Revolver and the other Mepharshim, Havada, Yisrael Muma, Afu Pishachatu, Yisrael Lu. How can you say that a Jew, you're not religious, you're not responsible for sure it's Averis, they're still Averis. They're not getting out of Judaism. And therefore, how can we be a passive helper if there's a problem to help a Jew? Then it should be the same problem to help a non-religious Jew. So because of that, they're going to say another pshat. Somebody suggested to me yesterday, about the Russo, he spoke to me, that it could be that from where do we learn that you have to stop people sinning? We know if neighbors sit to Mitchell, you may not help people sin. How do you know they have a chiyuv to stop people? It's not a popular mitzvah in our political situation of democracy. But there is a chiyuv, basically learn from the pshukim of v'chiyach nechiyach esam yisecho. That you should tell off, you should rebuke people who are doing an avera. So it says the pasuk that echeach techeach is amisecha, your friend. Now the Torah says, the Gemara says a few places, said to people who don't behave the way Jewish people should behave, I cannot be, don't get the privileges that are accorded to friends of the Jewish nation. Achicha, they're not always called achicha, amisecha. So it could be that you actually don't have a responsibility, it's not your mitzvah to stop somebody sinning who he himself is not true amisecha. So if he's not religious, so it's true, it's a sin. We're not saying it's not a sin, for him it's a sin. But you don't have a chiyuv to stop him. And therefore, since you don't have a chiyuv to stop him, you're allowed to be a gentle helper. A gentle helper is somebody who does something which he could do without you. So that's not called that you made him sin. So if you didn't make him sin, and it's not your responsibility to stop him, so then it's permitted. That could be the pshat in the Shach. The dogma of Vava, which, as you probably know, is the Noda B'Yuda, so he writes that he was suggesting a bit differently. He thinks maybe the Shach means something else. When do you have a chiv to stop somebody doing Aveira? That somebody who's doing Aveira B'Shegik, he didn't realize what he was doing. But even if you have somebody who's religious, who's doing an Aveira B'Mezid, he knows that he may not serve a Zorah, he knows he may not kill. Even though, and he wants to do it anyway, then you don't have a chiv to stop him. The chiyuv echeach techiach to rebuke someone is to explain to him what the problem is. And to stop him, try and encourage him to stop. But somebody who knows what he's doing and he's doing it anyway, so then you don't have a chiyuv to stop him.
Why?
Pardon?
Why?
He doesn't say why. Now it could be, he puts it in the middle. If he's over b'shegeg, v'yesh b'adish achel afrishay, chayv afrishay. Like a kotel. Where's the case of that you have to stop someone sitting? If by somebody else's child, you don't have a mitzvah of chinuch, the aver is being done, at least you should try and stop him. But he says, Yisrael, the right to lava b'mezid, aleza aver. If you have a Jew who wants to sin on purpose, I feel in him, mumma. He's religious, but he just, you know, he has a weakness for this sin. So then, you don't have to stop him. It could be this far is that what would I have to stop him? You stop him now, he'll do it somewhere else. He's a person who has his intelligence, he's not a cotton, he's not making a mistake. So it's not going to help anything. You stop him this time, he'll just go later on and do it again. If it's just the Yetzirah this time, you'll never really know what exactly is his motive. But if he wants to sin b'mezid, he says that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to help people who don't realize what they're doing. But to force somebody to stop talking, obviously you'll have to suggest it to him. But then your mitzvah should be that you have to stop him now, it's not your responsibility. Mimela, if it's not your responsibility, then you also don't need to, you're allowed to help him in a passive way. So he said that's really what the Shach means. The Shach wasn't trying to say that somebody not religious, not Jewish, not Shoshan. The Shach was saying this person wants to sin b'mezid. He wants to sin b'mezid, he's a mumma for this thing. He's not being religious in this act. He wants to misbehave. If he wants to, then it's not your responsibility to stop him. So when the Tosafot Shabbos say that you may not help somebody, even if he could pick out by himself, that's talking about somebody who forgot it was Shabbos. So then you mustn't even be a gentle helper. But somebody who is who knows what he's doing, he wants to do it anyway, so then one is allowed. So either according to simple reading of Shabbos, somebody not religious, or somebody who knows what he's doing, he knows it's forbidden, does it anyway, then you have a heter from the Shach and Dog of my brother, that it is permitted to help him in a way if he could do it anyway. So it should come out according to that. If a person's parents are not religious, and they want to eat non-kosher food, and they ask you to help in his preparation, well obviously they could do it themselves, it's just easier for them if you help. So it should come out, at this point, that you should be allowed to help them, because they're doing it on purpose, they're not religious, so it's not your responsibility to stop them. And as much as it's not your responsibility to stop them, you're allowed to help them in a gentle way, at least according to the Shach and Dog Mevova. And the Rav himself brought those two opinions. So, there's room to be lenient over here. Okay, so that would be the shadow whether you could use Kibbutz HaFoim as a motive, but definitely Darkei Shalom is going to be something that you'd be looking to be mekel over. This only applies if the mother is considered amazing and a mumma. However, you always have to take into account that sometimes the mother just wasn't educated in the Beis Yaakov. And then she kasha doesn't know. But then she just doesn't know. And the mitzvah, she was never brought up with this. Then what she's called, what she's known as what we call it, halachatinik shenishba. If the mother is called a shoige, and it's not her fault, because she was never taught about Judaism properly, so then he's not going to be able to help her, because then she's going to be considered a regular Jew. She's not going to be a mishup mumma. She's not going to be a mezid. Everything she does will be considered by mistake. And then, how can you sit by and help her a little bit? Then you surely have a mitzvah of not helping her. So I'm not sure if that heter is going to work by itself. More than that, the Gemara says in Gittin, some of peace. And this is really the kasha which needs to be resolved before we want to do any work in the kitchen. Mitzvah will be up to Daf Yomi a couple of weeks. But we were just learning this, so that's how it came up. The Mishnah says two halachas. Number one, you have a neighbor who doesn't keep Shemitah. They eat fruits which are forbidden in Shemitah. You're allowed to lend to them a sieve or an oven even to enable them to bake their flour, which very likely, or according to Tosfos for sure, came from Shemitah and was produced by Issa and may not be eaten. Still, you're allowed to lend them an oven for them to cook with. This is talking about a passive act of giving them the kli which they will cook with. However, you may not do boira to sort out the grains, to clean away the dirt from the grains, and you may not help to grind and do any kind of work yourself. One may lend the kelim, but one may not do an act of helping. And the Mishnah carries on also by people who are making challah, which is tameh, you may not help them in the baking. So, the Mishnah carries on. All this is because It's forbidden to help somebody who's doing an aveira. Now, it doesn't say specifically, but it's pashtus, it seems, that even if he could manage without you, even if he could manage without you to clean the grains, but you may not be a helper, somebody who works with them to help in the production of the food. So I saw the answer to the Birab. He says, let's work it out. We have a Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, who seems to say that there's no lifnei there if it's, he could do it by himself. So what are you going to say? Now maybe that's only talking about a mumma, a mushumut. But somebody who's not a mushumut, somebody who's religious, just they have a weakness for one avir. So then it would make sense, you may not help them. But what we say according to the Dogma of Avodah, the Dogma of Avodah said that anybody's doing on purpose, then you don't have to stop them. So surely this mission that we're talking about his neighbor doesn't keep Shemitah. So doing on purpose. So then, why does it say you may not help them? So it seems to be, he suggests this, Rav Wurwitz and Azdi Be'av, and so before then, the first keeper already mentioned this tzad. You can find it in Ksav Sefer, in Yerideh 7 Pei Gimel, an opinion seen from the Baal HaOchlinet, Simit Hezbov. So they say that this mission is a new idea. One part of the halachas is to pass somebody the item which they then go and use by themselves. The second part of the halachas is to actually get involved and help in the production. If you're involved, then you're helping the production literally with your hands. You're getting your fingers dirty, you're working with the grains, then that's going to be asa, even if you have a heter of a mumma, or somebody doing it on purpose. That heter does not apply anymore. If you're actually working with them, that's what the Mishnah calls you're encouraging somebody in the Avera while they're doing the Avera. So to help somebody while they're doing the Avera is worse than everything else. When we say doing the Avera, it's not dafka whilst they're doing it literally, it's whilst they're cooking the Avera. If you get involved and help cleaning the grain, so that's also a problem. So therefore what will come out? That even if we could justify perhaps selling non-kosher food, although practically we won't, even if there will be room to be mekel over there, there's not going to be a hatter to actually work with them. So let's make a summary of what we have, and then there's the one last question, which will be, of course, washing the dishes. To sell non-kosher food to somebody who's non-religious, or somebody who eats non-kosher on purpose, so it should come out that if they could buy it somewhere else, then according to the shach, it's going to be permitted, according to Dogma Rav will be permitted, and the Ramah brings us two opinions that it could be permitted such a thing. However, although there are Mekilim, we have to know that the Magen Avraham Sivashim Mem Zayin, which the Mishnah Berurah brings over there, and it was carrying on Shabbos, where the Tosfos of Shabbos is mentioned, he does not go into any leniencies, and he says one may not pass non-kosher food, midrabbanan, to somebody who's going to eat it, a non-religious Jew, and he does not give any kulas. So halacha levaisa generally, the halacha is going to be, Pashas what says the Mishnah Berurah not to do these things, but there is a tarion from the Shach and the Dogma of Ovo that perhaps there's no machlokas, and whenever he's amazed, the mumma is going to be permitted. However, to help in the preparation, to help in the kitchen, to peel the potatoes for the meal that's going to be, to peel the potatoes, not so great, but to help wash the meat that's not kosher, then to put it in the oven or anything like that, that's for sure going to be awesome, because that's the Mishnah in Sabbath Aleph that says, Le'isova ve'le'sitcha nimo, by somebody who's choshed on shvi'is, they regularly eat shmita fruit be'isa, and still, you may not help them, so l'choya hu shvi'in shvi, by somebody who's amazed. And pashtus, it even applies to a goy. There's rayas from Rashi and Avodah Zarah, from the end of the Mishnah, that even a goy, in the minute while they're doing an avera, so for goy, most of these things are not an avera, but if they would be doing an avera, like they'd be serving idols, you may not help them in the preparation of the issa itself. So that is, in the actual helping, the chayyur does not going to be any heter at all. What I want to ask you is, what happens if she asks the boy to go to the shop to buy something? Is that the same as selling something, which there might be a heter? Or is that the same as, helping? If you're a seller, then we said that's like a passive act. All you're doing is providing the issa. And they could have bought it from somebody else anyway. But if to send somebody to buy, perhaps that's called that they are they're working for you. So perhaps that's going to be more common. Washing the dishes, though, is quite clear, because that was the end of the beginning of the Mishnah. It says that you're allowed to lend to them kelim which they're going to use. And though in so much time to explain why that's permitted, it seems that is called a stage before the Issa. The Issa really is the eating. It's also to help in the cooking. But to lend the kli with which they'll cook, and when they cook, then afterwards they're going to eat, that's called too far removed, and that can be permitted, especially if they could do it some other way. So that's going to be easier, therefore, who I did to lend, to help wash the dishes in order to enable them another day to cook, is not worse than giving them the kelim with which they could do the Issa. So that if he wants to wash dishes, we could give a heta. I want to finish off with one story. I'm very sure about maybe most of you know, but how can we talk about the sips? It's looking without mentioning it. Rebbe Lopin, famous tzaddik, was in Eretz Yisrael once, and a non-Jew was driving on Shabbos. He stopped the car and he asked him to put directions. And Rebbe started to cry. And he said, "How can I help a Jew to break Shabbos? And how can I refuse to help a Jew?" Thank you.